Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to rumble!
We got something that's really fantastic. I don't know how you go out fantastic, fantastic.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
You are go. Motor systems go.
Eternal youth, the purpose of this story. My favorite Spelling family member is probably Tori. But Aaron Spelling, her pops, he was tops, but so old. His youth was arrested and never paroled. I believe the children are the children. But I believe the adults are the children too. Bigger, older, wrinklier children. Less bendier, less friendlier. But children just the same. Just children who've lost their way and now they're kinda lame. Giant children, true they are. They used to be normal size. But now it seems that having fun is something they despise. They give me guilt trips when I supersize my fries. And they wear 3 pairs of glasses because they now have ish eyes. They used to be much funner, these overgrown children. Because they were younger, but because they were willing to try different things and always be chillin'. Now, their bladder's spillin'. Can they turn back the clock? Tick-tock? Like a clock? Don't mock when I talk or when I tick. You're a prick. Eat my stick. Drink my quick. Pick up sticks. Chinese delivery. 40 minutes have passed, but my stomach is quivery. 40 minutes, knock knock. Who's there? Chinese. Chinese who? Chinese food. Chinese food that you order. So many damn Mexicans crossing the border. And I'm sorry, but I ordered the large mushu pork. And what are these sticks, man? I use a fork. I also thought I asked for Mongolian beef. Well, if this beef had flavor, your cook is a thief. Robbing beef of its essence. Like time does our souls. Just like Chinese food, we get worse when we're old. You can freeze us, reheat us, but we're never the same. Growing old, oldly, the culprit to blame. So don't age, it's a cage, but are you a monkey? When people grow older, they start to smell funky. See, life is full circle, much like life, or a circle. Or Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel. You see, I believe it's in here that decides if we're young. Our hair. So if you don't have too much free of it to spare, well, it means that you're old. You're an old guy. And you can try hair plugs or you can just cry. But if you want to feel just as young as you can, then fuck younger girls. Thank you.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
been considerable confusion concerning the exact situation in Cuba. The communist propaganda specialists have tried to capitalize on this crisis. President Kennedy already has issued one warning in a note to Nikita Khrushchev, in which he said, "We will honor our obligations if any outside power tries to move into the Cuban fighting." And now to introduce the president, here is Mr. Turner Catledge, president of the ASNE and managing editor of the New York Times.
Catledge, members of the American Society, newspaper editors, ladies and gentlemen. The president of a great democracy such as ours and the editors of great newspapers such as yours owe a common obligation to the people, an obligation to present the facts, to present them with candor, and to present them in perspective. It is with that obligation in mind that I have decided in the last 24 hours to discuss briefly at this time the recent events in Cuba. On that unhappy island, as in so many other arenas of the contest for freedom, the news has grown worse instead of better. I have emphasized before that this was a struggle of Cuban patriots against a Cuban dictator. While we could not be expected to hide our sympathies, we made it repeatedly clear that the armed forces of this country would not intervene in any way. Any unilateral American intervention in the absence of an external attack upon ourselves or an ally would have been contrary to our traditions and to our international obligations. But let the record show that our restraint is not inexhaustible. Should it ever appear that the inter-American doctrine of non-interference merely conceals or excuses a policy of non-action, if the nations of this hemisphere should fail to meet their commitments against outside communist penetration, then I want it clearly understood that this government will not hesitate in meeting its primary obligations, which are to the security of our nation. Should that time ever come, we do not intend to be lectured on intervention by those whose character was stamped for all time on the bloody streets of Budapest. Nor would we expect or accept the same outcome which this small band of gallant Cuban refugees must have known that they were chancing, determined as they were against heavy odds to pursue their courageous attempts to regain their island's freedom. But Cuba is not an island unto itself, and our concern is not ended by mere expressions of non-intervention or regret. This is not the first time in either ancient or recent history that a small band of freedom fighters has engaged the armor of totalitarianism.
CBS News Update, I'm Mitchell Krause. At least 8 people are reported dead in the tremendous explosion that tore off the wall of 9 stories of a federal office building in downtown Oklahoma City. John Cox is a spokesman for the Oklahoma governor.
They've confirmed 8 fatalities, 2 adults, and 6 children. We believe through the reports that the 6 children were in a daycare center that is housed in the federal building where the explosion took place. The 2 adults, it's not known where they were in the building.
Governor Keating himself says it's still unclear what caused the blast.
I know of no threat and I know of no warning. the size of the explosion indicated, I think, to many of us who have been in this business that it had to be more than a utility blast, and apparently that's what occurred. But it's a terrible, terrible thing that these innocent people could be savage like this.
Federal agents say they think the building was bombed. At least two explosive devices were found in a car near the scene, and a local TV station says it received a call from someone who claimed the Nation of Islam group was responsible. Cynthia Gunn is at University Hospital.
Pretty much the victims have broken bones, cuts and bruises and burns. 60 adults are being taken care of now at University Hospital. At Children's Hospital, there are 10 children and 5 adults at that facility. They range in fair to critical condition. And a sad note here, the ages are from 2 months to 18 years.
The White House says a team of FBI agents has been sent to Oklahoma City, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency is mobilizing assistance. Reporter Mark Noller says there's a heightened state of alert at the White House. Security personnel are performing extra checks of people on the way into the building. There's a report that the FBI is checking all federal buildings across the country for possible bombs. Jim Stewart is in Washington.
There is certainly a heightened awareness here in this city, and the FBI in particular seems determined to add some security around its building.
It's also reported that an agent who works for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was in charge of AFT agents in Waco, Texas, where the Branch Davidian cult compound burned to the ground. The anniversary of that is 3 years ago tomorrow.
CBS News, this is Frank Setapani. A spokesman for Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating says the apparent bombing of a federal office building in Oklahoma City has taken the lives of 8 people, including at least 6 children. Some of the victims may have been across the street from the blast site, not in the building itself. The explosion sent nearly 100 people to local hospitals and forced officials to evacuate the downtown area. Fire officials say some people are still trapped inside the building. Rescue workers are trying to crawl through the wreckage to reach them. Mayor Ron Norek was in his office at the time.
The building shook real hard, and we knew something had happened. We were concerned that maybe there was an explosion in our own building because it shook so hard, but we looked out the windows to the south, and I could see the plume of smoke.
The explosion blew away 1 9-story wall of the building, which housed offices of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and other government agencies, and a daycare center for the children of federal employees. In addition to the device believed responsible for the explosion, at least 2 others were found in the area. At least 2 others were found in the area. At least 2 others were found in the area.
Let's begin. Take it down and up. Zip it up. Good. Take it down. Right here you should feel it. All right in that rear end. Good. Wonderful.
There it is. The Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
A Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time.
You'll shoot your eye out! You'll shoot your eye out!
Metro riders on a recent trip became the targets of a fellow passenger armed with an air gun. Tonight, we're getting a first look at video from the surveillance cameras on board the bus.
I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun. Lay there in the tall grass and laugh at what I'd done. Put a blood blister upon each bun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun. I'd love to rub your toothbrush on a sick monkey's butt. Give your home phone number to some perverted nut. Tell everybody what you really weigh, and then just for fun, I'd like to shoot you in the ass with a BB gun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with a BB gun. Lay there in the tall grass and wait for the cops to come. Put a blood blister upon each bun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with a BB gun.
There's still no word on who the person was, and they may be still doing this to other people on the bus.
A local man was just riding on a city bus when he became an unexpected target. And we have the surveillance video that shows the frightening situation unfold. KCTV5's Stephen Mayer is live in Kansas City with the story. Stephen?
Yeah, guys, Frank Bradley Jr. was at this bus stop right here at 3rd and Grand, just like any other day. He got onto a bus, but a few blocks later, someone pointed an air gun at the back of his head and pulled the trigger. Frank Bradley Jr. relies heavily on public transportation to get around. He's been using KC Metro buses for years without any trouble, but that changed 2 weeks ago.
I mean, I'm just not expecting to get shot on the bus. I mean, it is ridiculous that would even happen.
Take a look at the surveillance video we obtained from KCATA. You can see this man in the black shirt sit down just after boarding the bus. Now focus on the bottom right of your screen, as a few moments later, he pulls out an air gun and fires the weapon. You can even hear the pop as he pulls the trigger. It takes Bradley a few minutes to realize what happened, but once he does, he alerts the driver, who then pulls over and confronts a group of passengers. Luckily, Bradley wasn't seriously hurt, but he knows it could have been worse.
If my head was turned, that thing had hit me in the eye, you know, and I'm calculating on the force that it hit the back of my head, I'm pretty sure it would have blinded me.
Well, we're obviously very, very disappointed.
Cindy Baker and her team have been poring over the footage trying to identify this man. Baker says they take the safety of their passengers very seriously and says they installed cameras on 80% of their buses for a reason.
It helps our operators. It helps us with customer complaints. You know, you can decide what really happened. So that's why we have these, is just to make people feel a little bit safer.
Now Bradley is hoping someone will recognize this man, but in the meantime, he's not backing down.
I am not going to let anybody chase me off this bus. It's a public bus. Everybody has a right to ride it, and I refuse to live my life in fear.
I'd love to kick your poodle. I'd love to slang your cat. Bust your Yanni CDs with a baseball bat. Send your fat mouth mama sailing like the flying nun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with a BB gun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun. Lay there in the tall grass and wait for the cops to come. Put a blood blister up on each bun. I'd like to pop Sally Field right square in the ass with a Red Ryder BB gun.
Okay, Black Bart, now you get yours.
Oh my God, I shot my eye out!
Today we announce that if you think you're going to be a bad actor on buses, get ready. You're going to have a short-lived time frame.
This is a national pilot program which puts undercover officers on Metro buses, sniffing out trouble before it happens. It's kind of akin to air marshals, but for buses.
I think it's a good idea. There's a lot of bad people riding the buses sometimes. We all need to be protected.
But that safety will apparently come somewhat at the expense of civil liberties. These officers will be able to search bags at random, and canines might be brought in. But you don't like the bag searches?
No, not at all. Because I carry like a lot of food, and people always ask me for my food.
The Bus Safe Program is a collaboration between the Congresswoman, Metro, Precinct 7 Constables, and the TSA.
Well, too often we show you cop beatdowns caught on tape, but this one is different. It's another cop who intervened, and now she's about to get fired for it. Kirsten Cole has more on the story. Kirsten?
Yeah, Jody, this one just does not make sense. An officer brave enough to stop two other officers who are beating an emotionally disturbed young man ended up getting suspended for it, and she's facing firing tomorrow. She says it's worse than just not being a part of the boys' club. It's really because she crossed the line, the blue line.
Ooh, that's not cool. Teachers aren't supposed to even have normal lives, let alone do things like rapping. But that's exactly what one group did at Jennings High School in Missouri to motivate their students to revise.
Same old tips, how to get an A. Time to show the state that J don't play. Gotta eat your food, gotta come to school. Time to show the state just what we can do. Hustle, hustle, hustle hard. Study, study, study hard. Hustle, hustle, hustle hard.
closed minds don't learn in biology.
Mitosis and meiosis ain't the same thing, homie. One making babies, the other making copies. Think about photosynthesis, got it in my hypothesis. Water and osmosis working together, and I know this. Something about ecology. Is that part of biology?
Study hard.
You study long.
You study hard.
Yob is strong.
DLC is our final test.
This means we do our best.
Math is a friend to me.
Help to make some money.
So whenever you see me,
each day I will be
doing my work in all my classes. Learning real well, so I am passing.
Yeah, I know the listening lane. It's time to rep your name. Show the state you know how devices affect tone. Read and then infer.
What he say that for?
Recognize the plot before you click to mark that dot. Maybe there's a theme. What's the story mean? Analyze the passage for the universal message.
I don't know these words. Other seems a blur.
Time to use your clues. Context and the roots. Who are the characters? Maybe there's some metaphor. Simile, symbols, titles are subliminal. These are just some hints. At the test, don't wince. Master what you learned. Pride in the great earned.
Spivey in the house. Wallace in here too. Let's get these test scores up. That's what we want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Next stop, Crown Talk. Crown Talk coming up. You've been warned.
They told me that the teacher had asked her to go to the restroom before testing time.
Lisa Skidmore says asking a young child to go to the bathroom on demand is next to impossible.
You can't do that to a six-year-old.
That's why when her kindergartner told her teacher she had to go to the restroom during the test and wasn't allowed, Lisa couldn't believe it. Her little girl couldn't hold it.
She was still had poop, diarrhea poop, coming out the back, up the front, down her legs.
Skidmore says her daughter was forced to sit in the class for the remainder of test time, about 15 minutes. Then mom was called after the test, and it was another 20-minute drive to school to pick her daughter up. All the while, her little girl had to sit in the mess. No one bothered to clean her up, though a teacher did give her a trash bag to wrap around herself.
Diarrhea, cha-cha-cha, diarrhea, cha-cha-cha, diarrhea, cha-cha-cha.
Get a life.
Hey, welcome back, guys. This is Matt Larson 10, and that video that you just witnessed, that was the beginning part of one video. At the end, I'm going to show you how I'm linking this all together. Mitt Romney is coming under investigation by Waukesha, Wisconsin District Attorney Brad Schimmel. Basically, he opened an investigation into the subs for vote scandal. This is huge, guys. I mean, they bought $500 worth of subs. The Mitt Romney campaign bought $500 worth of cousin subs to encourage the crowd to hit the polls and vote for Romney. How they can link this together is Mitt Romney's actual words at the end of this video. I will show you a video where he literally encourages people to go vote, and if you want more subs, there's more subs in the end. So there are two different statutes that say this is illegal. You cannot provide any distribution of goods on election day. It's illegal.
Wait,
Welcome back to the War for the White House Bunker. A troubling new report from the Shuttleworth Institute shows that due to Facebook, every potential candidate for the 2040 presidential race, no matter how smart or accomplished, is now completely unelectable. I'm standing in the 2012 DemocraGrid with Jason Copeland. Jason, walk us through this.
Yeah, we're looking at really a political crisis here, and this is an alarming new study. Take a look at one of the candidates that the study points out. This is Trevor Kaufman.
Okay.
He's out of Houston, Texas. High school class president, spends 10 hours a week volunteering, got a full scholarship to Duke University.
He sounds like leadership potential.
Well, but take a look at his Facebook photo album, and you can see him smoking marijuana out of a lacrosse stick case his roommate converted into a six-foot-tall bong they called Goliath.
Okay, that will definitely come back to haunt him if he runs for office.
Most definitely. And the study cites even more dire outlooks for potential female candidates.
Really?
89% of women under 25 are tagged in at least one photograph French-kissing two of their friends passed out on a bathroom floor in just their underwear.
Wow, that won't look good in an attack ad, but we're not just talking about photographs here, are we, Jason?
No, we are not. In fact, the study points out that every word a potential candidate writes, even if it's 20, 25 years ago, is going to be used against them by their political opponents in the future.
Okay.
So, I mean, these kids need to understand that even if you call one single friend of yours a Jew whore, even if it's a joke, that's it. You can't run for president.
Right. Now, I understand that both major parties have leapt into action. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is interesting. The Democrats are currently searching basements and creepy backyard sheds in search of somebody who was kidnapped at a young enough age that they have no online presence.
That is a very interesting
tactic. Could be an option, and the GOP has been looking at this young man. This is a 20-year-old Jeeves Jones. He's currently living in Appalachia with his fundamentalist Christian grandmother and no electricity.
So Jeeves has no Facebook page.
Jeeves does not. In fact, he's completely illiterate, and the Republican Party has begun grooming him for a possible candidacy in 2036.
All right. Well, at least there's someone. Thank you, Jason Copeland.
Thanks, Andrea.
Now, in related news, former White House advisor David Axelrod is advocating getting rid of the presidency altogether. He suggests that instead of having elections, whoever becomes mayor of the Washington Monument on Foursquare gets to lead the country. We'll talk to him later in the hour.
You might think your car is fast, but how about this for a hot hatch? One prospective driver got into trouble whilst test driving this $370,000 Lamborghini Aventador on a Californian highway. He may have gone out looking to splash out, but that was left to the fire department as his prospective ride became a carbon fibre bonfire, thanks to what's believed to be an engine fire. Fortunately, the driver got out uninjured and was able to laugh off his terrifying experience.
Yeah! The real problem in the city is Lamborghinis.
Snowfall across northern Japan disguises the tragedy that unfolded here. At a local bear zoo, six of the animals used the snow that had accumulated in their pens to help them climb over the fence and escape. Two female zookeepers were mauled to death by the pack as the bears broke free. One man was injured in the attack but managed to escape and raise the alarm. Immediately, hunters were called into the area. Four of the bears were found near the zoo and put down. The other two made it into the woods. Trawling the woodland area, the hunters eventually captured the final two escapees, and according to state media, there is no further threat and calm has been restored. From afar, it's a dramatic and somewhat beautiful sight, but Popocatépetl, often viewed as the most dangerous active volcano in the world, has started erupting. It lies just 40 kilometres southeast of Mexico City, home to 20 million people. On Thursday, huge plumes of ash and water vapour were sent 800 metres into the air, and the ground shuddered, causing scientists to raise the alert level. 12 years ago, 10,000 people had to be evacuated after one of its most violent eruptions in thousands of years.
Local people are used to seeing their smoking mountain puffing away. They just hope their Donggoyo is having a breath of fresh air.
Mr. Breivik, you wanted to speak. I do not recognize the Norwegian court. You've gotten your mandate from political parties who support multiculturalism. And furthermore, it's known that you are a personal friend of Hanne Harlem, the sister of Gro Harlem Brundtland.
Okay,
we will make a note of that general objection to the legitimacy of the court. I will not really count that as an objection to the to our legal competence, but I understand that you raise an objection against me personally. Now I will ask for the defendant to stand up. May I have your full name? When were you born? 1302-79. I understand that you are now at Ila prison. Yes, that's correct. And you're also not employed at the point. That's not correct. No, so what do you do for work? I am a writer, and I work from prison. We'll make a note of that. Then you may be seated.
One factor which hasn't been taken sufficiently into account is his obsession with a certain kind of computer game. And his way of using the internet in order to create for himself a kind of alternative reality. He likes order.
Order out of chaos.
He doesn't like impurity and chaos.
Chaos and order.
And he's obsessed with boundaries. So, I mean, had this case been less serious, we might have said that he's received too strict a potty training, you know, when he was a child. But, of course, this is serious. It's real life. But he does not seem to be very successful at distinguishing between the virtual reality of World of Warcraft. And reality. So when he puts on his uniform, he's no longer the lone, slightly unsuccessful young man from the West End of Oslo, never completed an education, never did really well in his working life. He becomes a knight, a defender of the civilization of Europe against the invading Muslims. With his homemade uniform, with all the insignia and medals that he's bought on eBay, and with membership in a big and powerful secret society, the Knights Templar.
And freedom is beautiful. And you know? It'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we're order out of chaos, but we will. Hustle and chaos.
Iran says it has cracked into the computer software of a US Sentinel drone. Downed in the country last year and is in the process of copying the technology on board. In a TV interview, the country's Revolutionary Guards aerospace chief said Iranian scientists had taken apart the drone and were busy reproducing their own. Washington says it's unlikely Iran could break into the RQ-170's computer program, but there are concerns about the country analysing the aircraft's high-tech paintwork.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
Is it too old? Easy to catch? I don't know if I want you to match my bets. I'm a hustling cuss, lick on the dust. Hustling cuss, lick on the dust. Hustling cuss.
Decade of military operations in Afghanistan, colossal expenditure, and a rising death toll, the British and Americans are no nearer victory over the Taliban. Nor can they claim to have brought good governance and security to the region through improvements in living standards, child mortality, access to healthcare, clean water, education, medicine, democracy, peace, or freedom. But who gives a f*** about that, right? So we invaded another country, spent trillions, killed untold thousands, sacrificed the lives of some young people, maimed children, tortured innocents, lied repeatedly about our motives, installed corrupt puppet governments, rigged elections, sold off the nation's mineral rights, spit in its tea, fondled its wife, and wanked onto its burger. So f***ing what? We're the good guys, right? We have greater military power so we can do what we want. I mean, we have greater morality justification. I mean, do what has to be done. Anyway, we're winning! Hoorah! And that's all that counts. Echoing their generals' delusions of victory, both President Obama and David Cameron spoke this week, declaring the Afghan campaign a success. Here's President Obama. Let us all enjoy the 10th anniversary of the Afghan fantasy. We have inflicted huge amounts of damage, including the deaths of innocent civilians. We have sacrificed thousands of our own brave soldiers to hold some tiny areas of ground in Helmand and Kabul. I urge you all to join with me in kidding ourselves that our influence goes beyond 500 meters of our security bases. If that was not enough, we have stirred the region into a hotbed of recruiting for religious nutters ready to die for Allah. But the biggest victory and the best legacy we will leave the Afghan people is democracy. Rigged elections, a corrupt sham government run by thieving, nepotistic scumbags, propped up by the blood of your children on one hand, and the bribery of the very same murdering medieval voodoo nuts or Taliban banana warlords we said we were fighting on the other. Ha 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 ha! This is me laughing in your face. You people must be the dumbest schmucks on earth. Really, I can hardly keep a straight face while I'm reading this pish. Sometimes I wake up at night just to laugh at you some more. You poorly educated debt slave flag-waving morons. God bless America.
Two groups of men shot at each other near Tobagram Base, where I am. Today, the soldiers are happy about some of the men dying and sad about other men dying.
Sergeant First Class Aaron Tomlin is only sad about four of the dead people.
It's a long, tough day here. We lost four good men.
No, 27 men died. Four American soldiers and 23 Taliban soldiers.
Well, I wasn't talking about the Taliban.
But they are dead.
Yeah, well...
You are not sad about them.
You have to understand, you know, we're like brothers here.
We're like brothers here. Am I like brothers here?
No, I mean the men I fight.
My brother's name is Robert Falk. He lives in Lansing, Michigan. He is very good at Jenga.
Okay.
This makes no sense.
You said that four soldiers die and it makes you sad. But you said when Taliban soldiers die, it does not make you sad.
I asked Base Commander David Hawkins to make it make sense.
The last thing we resort to is hurting anyone. But you have to understand, it's our job to keep the American people safe from our enemies. And sometimes that includes...
So if you kill your enemies at your job, it is not sad?
Well...
What if I killed my enemy Ryan at my job? It would not be sad?
No, no, you shouldn't do that.
But he is rude to me. He steals my yogurts. He makes fun of the way I talk.
Look, only soldiers can kill without getting in trouble.
Okay. Are you going to kill Ryan?
No.
It does not make sense. Were the Taliban happy when the Taliban died? I went to meet Taliban spokesman Haji Mahat. They put a bag on my head to take me to the safe house, which made me stop thinking.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Good evening, my friends. I would like to talk with you tonight about something that concerns each of us personally and directly. Especially on March 15th. I want to talk about our taxes and about the new tax program that Congress will debate this week. Now, I can talk only about a few essential facts in this program because, my friends, this 900-page book is the new tax program. And this 500-page book is the explanation made by the Ways and Means Committee of the House of Representatives to the House regarding this bill. You and I tonight will be discussing only a very few of the high spots. Now, we recognize, of course, that taxes are necessary. We know that through taxes, our government gets the money to carry on its necessary functions. The most costly is defense. Only at our peril may we pursue a penny-wise, pound-foolish policy in regard to the nation's security. In the past year, we have been able to make real savings in defense costs. But despite these savings, 70 cents out of each dollar spent by your government still go for defense purposes. The remaining 30 cents go for many things. To meet our obligations to veterans, to carry on important activities overseas, to pay the interest on the gigantic public debt, and to do within our country what Abraham Lincoln described as those things which the individual cannot at all do or so well do for himself. I know how burdensome your taxes have been and continue to be. So we are watching every expenditure of government to eliminate waste, a duplication and luxury. But while we are insisting upon good management and thrift in government, we have, at the same time, asked the Congress to approve a great program to build a stronger America for all our people. So, let me give you some examples of the things we want to do in this program. We want to improve and expand our Social Security program. We want a broader and stronger system of unemployment insurance. We want more and better homes for our people. We want to do away with slums in our cities. We want to foster a much improved health program. We want a better and a lasting farm program with better reclamation and conservation. We want an improved Taft-Hartley Act to protect workers and employers. We want wider markets overseas for our products. We want, above all, maximum protection of freedom and a strong and growing economy, an economy free from both inflation and depression. Most of these things cost money. Without adequate revenue, most of them would be abandoned or curtailed. That is why our tax proposal is the cornerstone of the entire effort. It is a tax plan designed to be fair to all. I am sure you join me in the hope that the Congress, before it adjourns, will approve of this program for a stronger America. I most earnestly hope that the Congress will pass it. But this is an election year. Some think it is good politics to promise more and more government spending and at the same time more and more tax cuts for all. We know from bitter experience what such a policy would finally lead to. It would make our dollars buy less. It would raise the price of rent, of clothing, and of groceries. It would pass on still larger debts to our children. Some have suggested raising personal income tax exemptions from $600 to $800 and soon to $1,000, even though the budget is not in balance. Now, you've seen this kind of deal before. It looks good on the surface, but it looks a lot different when you dig into it. The $1,000 exemption would excuse one taxpayer in every three from all federal income taxes. The share of that one-third would have to be paid by the other two-thirds. I think this is wrong. I am for everybody paying his fair share.
Hey, young America, we need to talk. You may think this is uncool, you may even think it is bogus, but I want to tell you about something that has everyone buzzing. Something that concerns mature boys and girls just like you. Something called grass. Not that grass. I'm talking about marijuana. You may have heard of it. You may have seen someone smoking it, like those burnout bohemians or that crazy-eyed custodian at your school. You may have taken a toke or two. But do you know the whole story? Do you know the blunt truth? Weed, grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. No matter what you call it, no matter what hip street lib it's referred or referred to by, it all comes from the same stash. It's all marijuana. I know what you're thinking. What is marijuana? What makes marijuana so dangerous? Where can I get some marijuana? Well, brother, I'm not going to nickel and dime you. I'm not like the man all you kids are rebelling against. I'm hip. I know what young people are dealing with these days. In fact, here are some of my free-thinking friends to prove how completely not square I really am.
Parents are hypocrites. They tell us one thing, but then they do another. Why don't they practice what they preach?
Adults never have time to listen to us. And when they do, they just don't do what we're saying.
Why can't we dress the way we want in school?
So what about grass? Let's start with the basics. Marijuana is a plant that grows best with plenty of water and sunlight. Its leaves extend outwards in a star pattern some say resembles a hand, an open palm reaching out to claim its next victim. Rolled in zigzags, or puffed from seventh period woodshop projects, the smoke from this plant causes a brief state of euphoria, immediately followed by permanent insanity. Users are prone to unpredictable behavior, including junk food binges, joyride, and a sudden urge to wear sunglasses at night.
Marijuana should be made legal now.
Plus, they look flat out crazy. You there, stop laughing. Laughing is a symptom caused by blowing pot. Take a good look at yourself. Are you addicted? Are your eyes half shut and bloodshot? Do you recognize that person in the mirror? Then blame it all on marijuana. Long-term use of marijuana can lead to a psychological dependency. Soon, you'll be taking all sorts of measures to get your fix. People will start calling you names like Pothead or Smokey McBongwater. Losing all motivation, it's likely that you will drop out of school, take a sudden liking to sitar music, and maybe even get felt up by a cop or two. So why smoke grass?
I took it on a dare.
And if I dared you to jump off a cliff, would you do that too?
Man, everybody blows pot.
Uh-uh. I know this one guy that doesn't. Wait, not that guy. This guy.
Oh, no, thank you. Not for me.
When I'm high, it enhances my creativity.
No, it doesn't. Look at these paintings. The artist was stoned when he painted these. Those don't look like real flowers. Is marijuana really where it's at? Is it really as righteous as you think? There is more to life than grass. There are fulfilling careers and groovy beach parties. The closer you look, the more seeds you find in your stash. Follow your hopes and dreams. Be someone. Do yourself and your country a favor. Don't let this happen to you.
Criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise it. Some call it Tampi. Some call it. Of instrument too. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. That's the best thing you can do. For the food, good for asthma, good for tuberculosis, even humor thrombosis.
got to legalize it. Don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. I will advertise it. Birds eat it and still love it. Fowls eat it. Goats love to play with it. So you got to legalize it. And don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah.
And the internet introduces everybody, no matter how weird, no matter how marginalized, no matter how peculiar, to the fact that there are others like you. There are others like you. Find the others. Make common cause. Realize that it's the deals you cut and the friends you make that determine where you're going to be standing when the flash hits.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
In the first year of the 21st century, a man standing by a highway in the middle of America pulled from his pocket his life savings, $30, laid it inside a phone booth, and walked away. You know, I've known Daniel for 20 years before he gave up money. And then when he did give it up about 10 years ago, I heard about it and I just figured he was crazy. He said the money was an illusion, and I didn't really believe that. In 2008, though, after the economy collapsed and money just disappeared that we thought we had, I started to give him a second look, and I wondered, well, maybe he had a point, because if your house was worth $500,000 one day and then only $300,000 the next day, what happened to that $200,000? What was that money in the first place? Public debt soared to $8, $10, finally $13 trillion. He did not pay taxes or accept food stamps, welfare, or any other form of government handout. Instead, he set up house in caves in the Utah Canyonlands, where he forages mulberries and wild onions, scavenges roadkill raccoons and squirrels, pulls expired groceries from dumpsters, and is often fed by friends and strangers. He writes, "My philosophy is to use only what is freely given or discarded and what is already present and already running." And that's what drew me to Daniel, was here was someone who's saying, you know, maybe I don't know what the solution is, but I'm going to disobey. So basically all three of these movements, left, right, and center, have come to the conclusion that our financial system is a big problem. It's so big that we can't control it, and in so many ways we feel enslaved by it. Worse, we feel powerless to change it. And then Daniel comes along and says, hey, you don't have to be part of the system. I've proven it. I've proven that you can survive and live abundantly for 12 years without using any money. And that just blows people away and it inspires them, and it inspired me, which is the reason I wrote this book. The fact is, if everyone lived like the average American, the world would actually collapse much more quickly than if everyone lived like Suelo. But when Suelo comes along, why do we all say, hey, if everyone lived like you, this wouldn't work?
We can cultivate freely giving and freely receiving no matter what station of life we're in. That's our true nature. It exists in everybody.
This is a book about a guy that chose to live like a myth. You know, he chose to live like the heroes of the Bible. And That interests me, and of course, the desert is the perfect place for that, because that's where religions are born. You know, I think for Daniel, the story has already sort of ended. I mean, he found a way to live that was meaningful, that he felt like he could live according to his heart and his beliefs, and he could find happiness. But he's not just sitting there on a hill becoming enlightened. He's really engaged with the world, and he wants to get his message across. You know, he says he doesn't imagine everyone going to live in a cave, but he does imagine that money will become obsolete.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.